Okay, let's begin. So we have one more Maimon Chazal to discuss, to conclude Sefer Chagai. I'm just going to read it to you because I'm so late. I just want to describe where I get into it. The Maimon Chazal is on the last pasuk. Bayemahunu Hashem Tzvakos Ekochacha Zerubbabel Ben Shaltiel. And over here, I'm going to just read you the words. The Chazal Zerubbabel Yotz. Yei Shekaru Atzmam Avodim V'Yakadosh Baruch Hu Kiraam Avodim. There are different categories of people in Tanakh. There are some people that HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls, they call themselves slaves, servants. A slave is not, an eved is not a bad term. It's relative. To be an eved in Mitzrayim is not a good thing, but to be an eved Hashem is obviously a very good thing. There are individuals who call themselves Avodim, and Hashem agrees. Hashem also calls them Avodim.
There's nothing wrong with the term servitude, but there's a difference between voluntary and involuntary.
Right. It's relative to who you're a servant to and how you became a servant. Yesh, there are people shekaru atzmam Avodim, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu kira'am Avodim. The Yesh, and then there are individuals shekaru atzmam Avodim, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu loy kira'am Avodim. That's the best. The best is when you do not call yourself an Eved, but Hashem calls you his servant. Let someone else praise you and not yourself. You know the Vart, the old Vart. And what happens, Veloy? No one wants to sing your praises. Then, Picha. Then you have to speak up for yourself. You have to toot your own horn. Okay, but that's a drush. That's a joke. It's a joke. It's not a drush. Very important to make that distinction between a drush and a joke. It's a joke, but it's not really a joke because there are times when there are, you know, applications that it's true. But generally, the rule is yalol chazar v'loy picha. Let someone else sing your praises. Don't go and praise yourself. And that's exactly what it says of you when it comes to this term Avodim. And evidence is the most honorific title. I remember my Rebbe, you always say that Moshe Rabbeinu, the Hesped, the entire Hesped was two words. Eved Hashem. Who's Maspid? Who's Maspid? Moshe Rabbeinu. Hashem himself. Vayikbar vayomashem Moshe. Eved Hashem. Hashem was Maspid Moshe. The entire eulogy were two words. Eved Hashem. If Moshe Rabbeinu would have a matzeva, we don't know. V'lo yoda ish. No one knows where Moshe is buried. But if Moshe Rabbeinu would have a matzeva, would have a burial spot, and we can go to his kever, what would it say? Think about that. What would it say on his matzeva? If you were given the task to write the Matzeva for Moshe Rabbeinu, what would you write? You'd say it's an impossible task. What could you possibly write about Moshe Rabbeinu? Very easy. You write what it says in the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Eved Hashem, Poi Nitman, Rabban Shel Kol Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu, Eved Hashem. That's all you got to write. Because that's what Hashem said about Moshe Rabbeinu.
Ishuel
Okim. Yishol Kim, okay, but who's...
Okay,
but when the Moshe died, that's the term Hashem used. So here we come back to that term. Yismach Moshe b'manas chelko, what do we say in Shabbos, in the Shemayin Esher and Shacharis? Yismach Moshe b'manas ki eved ne'emon koros aloi. Okay, Hashem called him an eved ne'emon, ki b'chol beisi Nemanhu. Okay, it's interesting that expression, the Shemona Eshri, is very, very fascinating because it doesn't say those two words together. If I'm not mistaken, there's nowhere in the entire Chumash where those two words are put together.
Which two words?
Eved Neman. Eved Neman. It says, Ki b'chol beisi Nemanhu. It says in my entire home when he criticized Miriam and Aaron for speaking Lashon Hara, Hashem says, how can you speak about Moshe? He's a Neman. But it does not say the word Eved. And when it says Eved at the end of the Torah, Vayamash Moshe Eved Hashem, it does not say Neman. And the Mechaber of the Nusach HaTfilah, the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah, I assume, it was the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah that was Mechaber of the Nusach HaTfilah, they put together these two words. Ki Eved Ne'eman Karasa Loi. That's shocking. That's a shocking thing to say, because we would not do that. No one today, no one in the last 2,000 years would do that. They would say, it doesn't say anywhere. Where does, maybe I'm making a mistake. I don't know, maybe it says it somewhere. Maybe I'm making a mistake. I have to go back and study this. But the simple, in my mind, it appears that it says, Moshe Kibuchol Beisi Neman, when it says, Moshe was the Eved Hashem, so we put the two together, and it's called an Eved Neman. Who says? I don't think anyone here would feel comfortable on their own doing such a thing. You would say, Hay luchud v'hay luchud. When you go and you put the word Neman next to the word Eved, that changes the definition of the word Eved. And the word Neman was not said in connection with Eved, it was said in connection with Kibuchol Beisi, and my bias, Neman. To put the two together is a chiddush. It's a very big chiddush that you have the right to do that and to impose this upon Klal Yisrael. And we're very tough people. Klal Yisrael have been proven to be extremely critical. And to get something, they can't pull anything over their head. You can't. There's no way you can pull something over the head of Klal Yisrael. And if the Gantz Klal Yisrael has accepted this nusach, obviously there's something very powerful about this idea, which requires more study and insight. And maybe I'm making a big mistake. Maybe it does say somewhere in Tanakh. It says the two together. I don't know. I have to go look it up later. But it's a point that's important to be made now, because now that we're discussing the Sfarim Chazal and we're describing up here individuals. All different types of people. Some people that are called some people call themselves avodim. Some people are called avodim by Hashem, and some people, and a few select people, are called both by Hashem by themselves. They're called an eved. And he continues. I'm reading over here the Sfarim Chazal. You know, I don't put it on the screen. Just a few words.
But it's amazing. It's amazing also by Yehoshua.
Yeah.
It says Meshalet Moshe.
Yeah.
But not the Sefer. At the end, when he died. Vayamot sham Yehoshua Eved Hashem.
Also Eved Hashem, like the Rebbe, just like the Rebbe.
He climbed up to this title.
Yeah, he reached of like his Rebbe, like his Rebbe. Interesting, you know, I go to the Meir Appeldorf. He takes me to the cemetery. You see here, Meir is not here yet. He takes me to the cemetery, and there, my grandmother is buried. And not far from my grandmother is Rav Chaim Heller. Rav Dr. Chaim Heller. And Rav Chaim Heller was the Rebbe of Rav Yosher Ber Soloveitchik from Boston. Rav Yosher Ber Soloveitchik worshipped, literally, he worshipped the dust of his Rebbe, Rav Chaim Heller. Yeah, that was his Rebbe. And it appears that he wrote the Matzeva. When Rav Chaim Heller passed away, Rav Yosher Ber Soloveitchik wrote the Nusach HaMatzeva. And it's a very short nusach. He does wrote Rabban Shel Yisrael. I don't remember. I think all it says Rabban Hagoyin of Chaim Heller, Rabban Shel Yisrael. I think that's it, maybe a few more words. I don't remember. When Rav Yosher Ber Soloveitchik, Zechet Tzadik Levracha, passed away, when it came time to write his matzeva, what did they write? Exactly. Word for word, what he wrote about his Rebbe. You can see it online. You want to see the Matzevas, maybe I'll post it later. I'll post it later. The kivarim.com. There's a website called kivarim.com. It's a very, very, really good website where someone came along and took pictures. Svelo, he took pictures of many Matzevas, of many of the Gedolei Yisrael in America. The vast majority of America, clear pictures with their matzevos, and some of the people, there are articles, there's background to tell you who they were, and there you can actually see a picture of Rav Yosher Ber's matzeva and the picture of Rav Chaim Heller's matzeva, and you see it's exactly mila b'mila. And like you're saying, Rav Kalman, is that Moshe, when Yehoshua died, Yeshua reached the Madrega of his Rebbe, Vayamasham Yeshua, Eved Hashem, just like what it said about Moshe Rabbeinu.
Yeah, by the Babacher Matseva,
yeah,
it's also practically the same like his father was.
The Rebbe, yeah, they're right next to each other. Is it
right,
really?
The Nusach is the same,
Kamat the same, okay. Okay, so that's a very interesting thing. You don't want to tamper. You have something good. There's no need to tamper with something that's been proven to be good. All right, it's a little spooky, though, is that when Rav Yosheber was writing the Nusach, was writing the Matzeh for his Rebbe, he was really writing his own Matzeh. So that's a spooky type of thing. Any event, we have, going back to the Maamar Chazal, there are people who are called, now here we give the example, the Yesh Loi Koratzman Avodim, Yakolosh Baruch Hu Kerm Avodim, Zeru Bavel. And this is Avois Rabbeinu Nosson. It's a really fantastic sefer. We should really spend some time learning Avois Rabbeinu Nosson. It's a competition for Pirkei Avos, but has quite a bit of additional material. And there it is, Zerubbabel Okara Atzmai Evet. Zerubbabel never called himself an Evet. V'yakadosh Baruch Hu Kiro'oi Evet. Shenemar Ba'yoy Mahu Num Hashem Tzavokos Ekochacho Zerubbabel Ben Shaltiel Avdi. So this is a very great honor. This is, in fact, the highest honor. The highest honor for a person never to take credit for himself, and yet for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to praise him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be the one, Yehalolcha Zor V'loy Picha, Pshuto Kemashmoy, never to toot your own horn. And it's...
I thought maybe yesterday, I didn't say it then because it didn't make 100% sense, since it said also that Yeshua was called an Eved, that maybe it said that he was called Mohul, the one, so Das Yachid there pretty much, because Moshe Rabbeinu was called Eved and he was also Nolad Mohul. And I thought maybe that had something to do with it, but it doesn't hold water in terms of Yeshua being there. We don't know about Yeshua being Nolad Mohul, certainly not, but
it doesn't.
That's why they wanted to say about Zerubbabel.
Well, you want to say the word Yotza Mohol means he was born Mohol? He was Yotza Merechaninoi?
Yeah, because he's called at the point where, when do we say it? When it's called Eved. So maybe because Moshe was called Eved and he was Nolad Mohol, that's the Medrash. So
right.
Maybe that was what generated that thought. I don't know.
I hear what you're saying.
The thought crossed my mind, but it doesn't really...
You're suggesting that the term...
doesn't hold up.
You're suggesting that the term Mohol is synonymous with the term Eved.
In some way,
because...
I don't know. I mean, it doesn't hold up. That's what I'm saying, because of Yeshua.
Right, no, there is something to it, because in ancient...
I thought about it yesterday, but then, of course, I realized also that Yeshua was called Eved at the end of the Sefer, and so...
Okay, but you say
I thought probably it doesn't work, so I didn't say anything.
No, but there is something to it, because in ancient times, slaves were branded. A slave, in order to make sure the slave doesn't run away, they would burn into his flesh a mark to indicate.
They did it in modern times too.
So a choisam
in America, they did that to the slaves also.
So in a choisam, a bris milah, in essence, is equivalent to a brand. I don't know what you call it in singular. It's similar to this idea. The fact we are the Avdei Hashem, and Hashem has branded us. How? With Bris Milah. So when you say the word Eved, in this pasuk, we discussed yesterday, why does the pasuk emphasize Yotza Mohol? And it's very obvious because of the word Kachoysam. Choysam, Bris Milah, throughout our liturgy in Chazal, is called the Choysam. Chosam Be'ois Bris Kodesh. I think you said in the Bracha by Bris Milah. Chosam, Hashem has sealed Be'ois Bris Kodesh. So it says to hear the word Choysam in relation to Zerubbabel. That's why the Chazal say Zerubbabel Yotso Mohol. Now, it doesn't say Noilad Mohol.
Yeah, that's right.
Because
right.
Noilad, when the Chazal want to say Noilad, they say Noilad. So Yotza, if you want to play with it, you can say Yotza means the same thing. He was Yotza Merechem Imoy Mohol. You want to say that?
What else it would be?
Okay, so you want to play with it? Maybe there's a time we use the word noilad yatsa. Fine, but whatever it is, if you're not going to say that it was noilad mohol, so what then does it mean yatsa mohol? So we didn't really give a good answer al derech pshat. The only thing that we did was to explain is that the beginning of Klal Yisrael is Avraham Avinu. The end of Klal Yisrael is the descendant of Zerubbabel, the Zera of Zerubbabel, and Zerubbabel himself is a descendant of David. He's a descendant of David HaMelech, the Malchus based David, and the Chasima goes back to the beginning. The Gemar returns, it's a Gilgal HaChoyzer, goes back to the beginning. The beginning is Avraham Avinu, the first mitzvah was Bris Mila, and the Gemar is Yatsa, he departed from the scene Mohol. Avraham entered onto the stage Mohol. This world is like one big Broadway show. And the beginning of the show begins with Avraham Avinu saying, Hashem saying to Avraham Avinu, Hishalech lefonai v'heyeh samim, and I want to give you the Bris Mila. And the show goes on, and there's a break here and a break there, and there's a long Broadway show that goes on for a very long time. When the show is over, the last actor on the stage is Zerubbabel, a descendant of Zerubbabel. Yatsa Mohol, and he walks off the stage with the gift of Bris Mila. Okay, what that means, I don't know. We discussed this yesterday, what this means, whatever it means. But there's obviously a connection in the beginning and the end. You want to maybe suggest that the word mol in the Rambam represents morality. The Rambam makes it very clear. It's something which, I don't know, you have to speak to that. They say it's true. They actually say, medically, they say it's true, is that the purpose of Bris Mila is basically, instead of taking drugs to prevent a person from having a taiva for noshim that's out of control, Bris Mila removes the most sensitive nerves that give a person taiva relating to matters of noshim. And by removing the orla, a person in essence is attempting to curb his taiva for noshim. That's what the Rambam says. I'm not making that. This is what the Rambam says. That's the purpose of Bris Mila derech pshat. A person is born with the Yetzirah, and the Yetzirah can be so powerful, it can destroy him. And he has to control himself. And there are many techniques that are necessary to control Musar, to make sure you protect your eyes from what you should not be seeing, not to be in contact with certain types of people, not to drink too much wine, a nazir. There are many techniques that Hashem has given man to curb his Yetzer Hara. And one of the tricks in the bag of Hashem is Bris Mila. Because Bris Mila removes the nerve endings of some very sensitive nerves which enhance a person's taiva. And removing Bris Mila removes this taiva. And you should know that is one of the reasons why the Goyim, the non-Jews who are the non-believers, are strongly object to Bris Mila. Why take away the Hana? Why deny the pleasure? Why deny yourself this pleasure? Now, some people will say to you that, I don't know where you're going to find this literature. I once heard someone speak about this, speak to doctors, okay, that can people who know these things, who are knowledgeable of these things, because it doesn't seem today really makes much of a difference from society, because until recently the vast majority of society did have a Bris Mila, even by the non-Jews, and it's clear as day
only in America.
Clear as day, it doesn't make a difference when it comes to taiva. The taiva for the Yetzirah is as strong as ever. So it doesn't seem like it really works, makes a difference. Just because a person has a Bris Mila, it's going to really hold you back. But this is what the Rambam says. And it seems, if you read up on it, there's a lot of truth to it. And some of the people who oppose Bris Mila not because of religion, who oppose Bris Milah.
Well, it's all mixed together.
It's all mixed together. There's a lot. There's a lot that goes together.
Religion, a lot of them don't even know this. Cruelty to children. And then that other one that you're talking about.
Religion. The main thing is the people today that are going to oppose Bris Milah, they're not going to talk about this. They don't even know about this, most likely. But going back a couple of generations, they did know about this, and that was one of the primary objections. Today, you don't hear about it. Today, people that are opposed to Bris Milah, Michal just said, it's cruelty to children. Don't tamper it's a contradiction. Don't tamper with God's work. If this is the way God made you, leave the body alone.
Say God. They say
and
nature.
Those same people who tell you those arguments.
Not God, nature.
Nature, okay. Don't tamper with nature. If this is the way human being was created, what are you tampering with nature? Okay, that's the argument you're going to hear. You're not going to hear, or there's just a hatred for religion. So even if it's beneficial, let's say they'll have studies that they'll say that it reduces the chance of cancer in that part of the body by 50% later in life.
They don't care
because the hatred for the Jew, the hatred for religion is so great, they're suicidal. You're not going to hear this argument of the Rambam. The Rambam came long before all of these people, and the Rambam said the reason for Bris Milah is to dull, to reduce taiva. The Rambam was a doctor. The Rambam understood that in the Orla there are nerve endings which give a person a certain pleasure. And those, the opponents of the Rambam back in the day, their argument had nothing to do with religion, nothing to do with nature. It had to do with, you're here in this world to enjoy the world, to be a bal taiva, to eat, drink, and enjoy yourself. How dare you take away from this child his opportunity, his ability to have the full pleasure of what this world has to offer? That was their argument. And the Ribbono Shel Olam, when he created this world, he made a statement, that's not the purpose of this world. The purpose of this world is to be my servant, is to be my eved, not to enjoy yourself, to have a purpose, to be my servant. It goes hand in hand. Because if you're my servant, you put me before yourself. Bris Milah is putting Hashem before your pleasure. That's what Bris Milah is all about. So it's true, it's an Eved, and the Eved very much relates to the purpose of Bris Milah according to the Rambam. That, when we look at the end of the history of the world, with Yotzom Mohol, what it means to say is the world will come to an end in a state of morality. In an environment where people will not be searching to fulfill their pleasure, their taivas. Yotze Zubavel Yotze Mohol, Zubavel, he takes leave, Mohol, with the principles of Bris Milah, he will achieve revealing to the world, you're not here to enjoy yourself. You're here to serve. You're here to be the Eved of Hashem. This is what Hashem gave to Avraham Avinu for the entire world, and primarily for Klal Yisrael. Eshalech lefanai veheyeh samim. Be my servant. Perform Bris Milah. Give up on your quest to enjoy yourself fully in this world by instead focusing and devoting yourself to serving me, and teach this to the world. Morality. And indeed, Zerubbabel has succeeded Yotze Mohol. And this whole principle in Yotze Mohol is Avdos, is the ultimate Avdos. And indeed, he receives the highest praise, where Hashem calls him an Eved, in contrast to others who call themselves Avod. Some of them call themselves Avodim, and Hashem also called them Avodim, but Zerubbabel gets the highest praise, where Hashem called him an Eved, and he did not ever take the credit for himself by calling himself an Eved.
This is what it fits in very well, what you just said with the Barbanel, who says that what made him an Eved particularly at such a high level is that since he came from the Zera Malucha, since he came to direct descendant of David HaMelech, but Hashem told him in this Nevuah here that even so, he would not, even though he was royal to be the Melech in the Bayis Sheni, but God told him he would not be
right.
A Melech. So he says after he went and built the Beis HaMikdash, he went back to Babel and lived there the rest of his life because he didn't want to get involved. God told him he's not going to be a king. So he didn't try to take the Malucha for himself. He could have. He could have said, I'm the Zera David. I'm next in line. But he didn't do it. He did what God, he was a total servant of God. He stood down. A complete person. His emuna was 100%. He went back home.
Some say
he lived his life out of the public
home. He went back to Bavel. You're saying in a Chazal.
He did his job.
Right.
And he went back to Bavel.
He was a pachas. He was the pachas of Yehuda.
He will be eventually at the Bayis Shlishi, then he will return, so to speak. But not now.
Right. That's
and
another.
The Erev Ishbiachiv is between the Romans and the Goy, you know, and the Yishmael. Ishbiachiv is, you know, Yishmael against the Romans.
Okay, so that's what you say from the Barbanel, right? So you're touching upon this idea. It probably comes to the Barbanel. I saw also the Mamloes. He discusses this. It's probably quoting the Barbanel what you're saying. And this is an important idea which is not obvious in the Pesukim, and it appears to be historically correct, that Zerubbabel, he left. It seems like there was too much politics going on in Eretz Yisrael.
Right, he knew he wasn't part of the equation, and so he stayed out of the public eye. He went back, he did his job, like God told him, he had the whatever, Ruach HaKodesh, whatever it is, and he did his job and went back.
Back to Babel, which is strange, because Ezra and Nehemiah were begging, chastising the people to go to Eretz Yisrael.
Yes.
And here, the leader himself, the one that's meant to be the Melech HaMashiach, the one that was sanctioned.
He would be the cause of discord because there would be people on his side to be, you know, they would try to make him into something that he knew was not in the forecast.
So it's complicated.
He stayed out of the fray, that's all.
I mean, the problem is it really was meant to be in the forecast. It's just that they were not holding where they should, so Hashem was not going to bring Mashiach now, and for whatever reason, he left. He went back.
Right.
He made Yiridah. He went back. He went in order to avoid controversy. There's a lot more to the story that we do not know. There's no question. We're missing a lot of the details.
He's trying to bring Pesukim from here and Zechariah too. I mean, he gets into Zechariah. In the end here, the last page of Haggai, he gets into Zechariah. And in Zechariah, he gets into Haggai.
Right, okay.
Because they're very much connected.
But he left. Zerubbabel made Yiridah. Right. He went, returned back to Babel at this time. And that is considered probably to be the greatest, the highest degree of greatness, to give up power. To be able to give up power is the highest level when it's not appropriate. La havdil elif alfei havdolos. You probably know the stories better. When King George of Britain heard that George Washington was going to step down as president after how many terms was he president? George Washington. Two terms or four terms?
Two.
Four terms. Two terms?
Two.
Or four? Two, not four?
Two
only two terms. So, and then he could have been president more. He could have been, there was no statute of limitations at that time. He could, and there was other presidents that worked for four terms. He was president for two terms, and George Washington said, this is a democracy. The whole country was established on the principles of democracy, and therefore it's time for someone else to lead, to be the commander-in-chief. and I'm going to step down and let someone else lead this country. King George in Britain could not be massive, could not absorb such a thing. That a human being who is the leader of a country, and America was no Kleinigkeit already at that point. America already was established. George, this wasn't, you know, it was a long history before he became president. And he said, if he will indeed step down, I don't know the exact words, you can probably, I'm sure you can probably find it online, then he's something to the effect that that means he really is a great person. A person who has the ability to know when to call it quits, that's greatness. And you see that, Ilhavdil Elif Alfe Havdolois, that's Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel was meant to be the Melech HaMashiach. All the Mefarshim said that at some point in time in this very short Sefer. That was the intent. 70 years of Golos came to an end. We have the Pasuk in Yirmiyah and the Pasuk in Doniel. L'malos l'chorvois Yerushalayim Shivim Shana and l'fi l'malos l'bovel Shivim Shana. Daniel spoke about the Chorvos of Yerushalayim, and Yirmiyah spoke about the Malchus of Bavel. 70 years came to an end. The time now for the Geula was here. And unfortunately, Klal Yisrael during those 70 years sunk to a level where they were just not ready and they were not willing to bring Mashiach. But all of the components, all of the ingredients were present to bring the ultimate Geula, and the one that was in position to be the Melech HaMashiach was Zerubbabel ben Shealtiel. And could you imagine? He could have abused his power. He was already at least the Pachas of Yehuda, and he could have abused his power and made himself into the Melech and pushed people around to do things according to his liking. And yet, when he heard the words of Haggai that said, the time is not, we're not ready. We're not ready, the people are not ready. To the great ultimate credit, the greatness of Zerubbabel, he said, if that's the case, if the Navi tells me the people are not ready, indeed I will step down. If I cannot be the Melech HaMashiach because the people are not ready, so you know what? I won't be the Melech HaMashiach. And I'm not going to be a controversial person here, lingering around, and people are going to be accusing me of trying to abuse my power. I'm going to leave. I'm going to go into Bavel, and I'm going to step down. I'll go into an assisted living facility and live out my days quietly. So when I leave this world, no one should make a whole taram. It should be peaceful. That is real greatness.
Rabbi Levine.
Yeah.
I see there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin that says that Zerubbabel's real name was Nehemiah ben Chachalia.
Zerubbabel was Nehemiah? Yeah. That's not so. Okay. I'm not, it's a Gemara in Sanhedrin that says that explicitly?
I'm looking it up here. In
I'm not familiar. I'm not familiar with that. I have to go look it up.
He was saying over here in this paragraph that I read in the Abar Benel,
Migeza from the trunk.
Yeah, in other words, he said he is.
He's the Gemara, right?
He's talking about in Yecheskel. He says that's what he quotes. He said that he's talking about the Zerubbabel.
This is true greatness. It is true greatness to be able to step down, and in essence, he's coming to rectify the chait of his predecessor. When we started the sefer, we learned about the different candidates for Melech HaMashiach. The first candidate was who? When did the era of the Mashiach begin? So in the beginning of the Sefer, we learned from the Malbim, and others said something very similar, The first candidate, true candidate to be Mashiach was Chizkiyahu. Chizkiyahu failed. What did he fail? He failed to take advantage of an opportunity to sing Shira to Hashem. After the miraculous defeat of Sancheirif, he just, okay, it's another day. He did not seize on that momentum, that incredible miracle, to use it as a springboard to bring Mashiach. He failed. All right? A lost opportunity. When was the next opportunity to bring Mashiach? Chazal say Yoshiyahu. Yoshiyahu, he was the next candidate to be Melech HaMashiach. Where did he fail? He failed to listen to Yirmiyah the Navi, who told him, you're not living in the world of reality. You think that, and everything is perfect. Everyone in Klal Yisrael is, as we say, with the program. They're fooling you. Behind closed doors, they're not fully with the program. They're doing averos secretly. They're not yet ready. And because he refused to accept the reality, that's why he got into a fight, into a disagreement with Paro Nechoi regarding if he would allow him to pass through the land to fight with Nineveh, to fight with the king of Ashur. And that resulted in him being killed and dying, and now there was a loss of the Melech, another lost opportunity. Along comes the next candidate. The next candidate is Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel, obviously, he looks back at his two predecessors, at Chizkiyahu and Yoshiyahu, and the goal of history is to learn from history and not to repeat the mistakes of the past. Certainly, Zerubbabel did not want to repeat those mistakes. The mistake of Chizkiyahu was not seizing the moment to bring Mashiach. The mistake of Yoshiyahu was not taking into account the reality. The reality is just the opposite. The reality that the people are not ready for Mashiach. You see, they're two opposites. If you think about it, they're two opposites. They're two opposites. Chizkiyahu witnessed the ultimate miracle of Sancheriv's miraculous defeat. He was supposed to take that moment, Chazal say, the way they describe this failure, and to say Shira, to sing Shira. And he didn't sing Shira. Now, those are just words. Those words, they represent major principles, major concepts. There was a momentum building in Klal Yisrael. Hashem was doing for Klal Yisrael miracles, and it was his duty to take that momentum and sing Shira to Hashem, meaning to build upon it to bring Mashiach. And I'm busy. Bittul Torah, the Chassam and Chassal say, the boys, he was very into learning. It was in his era, there was never a time of greater scholarship in Torah than the era of Chizkiyahu. And he felt that bringing Mashiach now would be Bittul Torah. Would you believe it? That's what some of the Farshim say. It would be to make a holiday. If we make another national holiday, Atzmaut, if he would declare it to be Yom Atzmaut, what's going to happen? There's no yeshiva. It's Bittul Zman. The boys are not going to learn. And if they're not going to learn on the day of the holiday itself, they're not going to learn the air of the holiday. And then what about all the preparation for the Israeli Day Parade? What's going to be all the Bittul Torah that goes in to prepare the floats and a lot of Bittul Torah? It's not worth it. That was a mistake. He did not sing Shira. He did not take advantage of this momentum and build upon it. Let me finish this thought. And then what is the mistake of Yoshiyahu? Just the opposite. Pum fakert. Yoshiyahu, they was going full steam ahead. Full force. We're going to bring Mashiach. Mashiach is here. Paro Necho, you want to pass through my land? It says in the Torah, V'cherev loisavar bi'artzechem, afilu cherev shol shalom. We're living now in Yemei Samashiach. making a big mistake. Klal Yisrael is not ready. They were ready at the time of Chizkiyahu, but now they're not ready. It was just the opposite. Along comes Zerubbabel. Look at Zerubbabel. You have both. Yeah, you hear he's the one. He's the perfect example. This momentum. This momentum. Koresh says to Klal Yisrael, go! Who's stopping you from building your temple? Go! Get rid of the Palestinians. Bomb the Dome of the Rock. Build your temple. Who's holding you back? You need money? Here, here's money. Here's money. You need Kalim? Here, you could have the Kalim. Go, 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 go. People were hesitant. They went. They didn't go. There was momentum. You cannot deny there was momentum. Along comes Zerubbabel. He picks up on the momentum and he goes. He's the Pachas Yehuda. He's the governor. He's building on the momentum. But what happened? The people are not ready. They're just not ready. So he could make the same mistake as Yoshiyahu and deny the reality that they're not ready. But instead, he learned from the mistake of Yoshiyahu. When Haggai says here in these psukim, they're not ready, I'm not going to make the same mistake as Haggai, as Yoshiyahu. I'm here to build on the momentum. I'm not going to be like Chizkiyahu, who sat by and did nothing. I'm ready to proceed full force ahead. But now when you're telling me that it's not going, the people are just not ready, I'm not going to be in denial. I'm going to follow. I'm not going to make the same mistake as Yoshiyahu. I'm going to stop. I'm going to step down. I'm not going to be a source of controversy. I'm just going to go to Bavel and go to an assisted living facility and live out my days quietly outside of the public eye.
Yeah, Rabbi Shmuel, did you look up the Gemara? I have the Gemara here.
No, I didn't look. I got busy thinking of something else. By the way, according to what you mentioned, the Dome of the Rock, in 1956, Perez wanted to bomb the Dome of the Rock, and it was Dayan who voted him down. He was a general already then, and he said that you can't do that. But Perez said, listen, they'll forget about it because we're in the middle of a war. They have Yerushalayim. We'll bomb it, and that's part of what goes on in war. We'll get rid of it finally, this thing. But Dayan didn't let it happen.
No, yeah. I'm sorry. What happened was that Gorin told them to bomb it.
Yeah, they had, right. But this is...
And he told them, you say it one more time, I'll have you court-martialed.
Right, right.
But the Lubavitcher Rebbe was publicly advocating they should bomb it.
Of him that wanted to do it too. There were other people as well.
Let's talk about the Navi, Rabbi Levine. So how do we reconcile the Gemara then?
So you're right. Ein Hachanami. So the Chemi was Zerubbabel. So Ein Hachanami. So Ein Hachanami. Ein Hachanami.
He was a governor. So the Chemi was also a governor.
So if he was a descendant of David HaMelech, he was meant to be the Melech HaMashiach. That's clear. Zerubbabel was, all of the Mamre Chazal say that Zerubbabel was a descendant of David HaMelech and he was meant to be the Melech HaMashiach.
Right, he was eligible.
He was eligible. He was a candidate. If you're saying that Zerubbabel is Nehemiah, so be it. So he was Nehemiah. They were the same person. They say for Ezra Nehemiah, if that's what Chazal said, that Nehemiah and Zerubbabel is one and the same in Achanami. So that's not a contradiction. The Adarabba, it fits very well. It works very well in the storyline. They were one and the same.
Okay.
And then at the end, what happened? At the end was he stepped down. What happened over here? It's a maila. He stepped down because these psukim in Haggai, at the end of Haggai, according to what we learned yesterday, was a statement directly, speak to Zerubbabel and say to him, the people are not ready. And don't make the same mistake like Yoshiyahu. When Yirmiyah told Yoshiyahu, their people are not where they're supposed to, they're not what you think they are. And stand down. Stand down. Yoshiyahu says, I'm not. I'm going to do it my way. I don't care what you tell me. And he paid with his life because of that mistake. Zerubbabel is the next candidate to be the Melech HaMashiach. He has the advantage of hindsight. He looks back at the two previous candidates. We learned the sefer. We learned clear. It was either the Malbim. It was in the Radak. I don't remember who said it, but it wasn't. It wasn't one. It was more than one of the commentators. There were candidates since the first Tekufa, when Mashiach was ready to come, was Chizkiyahu. I always thought years ago that it was already Shlomo could have been the Melech HaMashiach. It seems not. It seems that the Tekufa of Shlomo was premature. The world has to go through stages. The world has to mature naturally. Shlomo HaMelech and his time, that was premature for the world to be ready from, even though the whole world was at peace. Ish tachas gafet, tachas teinosai. Shlomo was the melech on the elyonim. He was the melech on the tachtoinim. But the world was still not ready for Mashiach. You can be the melech on the elyonim and the melech on the tachtoinim, but the world's just not ready. The first time when the world achieved a degree of maturity, that now can be the time of Yemos HaMashiach Acharis Hayamim, and these are to us as just words, because we don't know what we're saying, but when the world reached this madrega of maturity, was Chizkiyahu. He failed. Chazal said explicitly why he failed to build on the momentum to sing Shira. The next candidate, Yoshiyahu, he failed. Why did he fail? Because he was trying too hard. He was trying too hard. He didn't want to accept the reality that people are not yet ready. Comes now the third candidate, Zerubbabel. He has the advantage of looking back in hindsight and looking at his predecessors. Who are his predecessors? Two, Chizkiyahu and Yoshiyahu. Zerubbabel says, I am not going to make their mistakes. I'm not going to repeat their mistakes. As far as building on the momentum, I will. I'm going to go back to Yerushalayim. I'm going to be the Pachas. I'm going to go and I'm going to build the Beis HaMikdash. We're going to move it forward. If he's saying that it's going to be Nehemiah, Adarab, that's exactly what Nehemiah did. They built the city. They expanded the city. They sanctified the city. They did everything he can possibly do to bring Mashiach. He built on the momentum. So what stopped him? Why did he suddenly retire? It's because of this last psukim in Sefer Chagai. When Chagai says, tell Zerubbabel, the people are not ready. And here was the nisoyon of Yoshiyahu all over again. Deja vu, all over again. What happens over here? He says, they're not ready, and he accepted. They're not ready, they're not ready, there's nothing I can do. And in fact, I'm going to leave, I'm going to retire, I don't want to be a source of more trouble for Klal Yisrael. So it's a very satisfying approach to look at leaders who learn from the mistakes of their predecessors, because that trait is almost non-existent in the world that we know today. Right?
I was going to oversimplify it.
Yeah.
By saying one didn't recognize a green light and the other didn't recognize
the red light. Exactly. Rabbi Chol just said is that the failure of Chizkiyahu, he didn't see the green light. The failure of Yoshiyahu, he did not see the red light. The success of Zerubbabel was he saw the green and he saw the red. He knew when to go and he knew when to stop. And that is why he gets from the Ribbono Shel Olam the ultimate praise. You are my Eved. That's the ultimate praise you can get from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You are my servant. He never promoted himself. He never called himself Hashem's Eved, but Hashem gave him that term, that title, you are my Eved, because he learned from his predecessors. He learned from their mistakes. That's what they said. There's an expression in English. I don't know the expression word for word, but everyone in this world makes mistakes. What then is the difference between the wise man and the foolish man? The difference is the wise man doesn't repeat his mistakes. A foolish man repeats his mistakes. And when you expand upon that principle, a wise man, he looks back to his predecessors, studies their lives, studies their history, and understands where they went wrong and makes certain not to repeat those same errors, those same mistakes. That is the beautiful Maila of Zerubbabel and how the Sefer ends and the high praise he gets from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Okay, that's one idea I want to conclude with. Now, another two short ideas I want to conclude before we wind down the Sefer. When we started this Sefer, we mentioned, we discussed, and it wasn't when we were learning Davi, it was when we were learning the topic of Tisha B'Av. And we discussed a very, very interesting chazal that stated that Mashiach must be a descendant of Shlomo HaMelech. Must be a descendant of Shlomo. And we had a discussion, I cited you another chazal, that says that the Melech HaMashiach will not come from Shlomo HaMelech. David had another son. Okay, I don't remember all of the details. And it's from that, it's a Zohar. The Zohar writes that. The Zohar writes that the Melech HaMashiach is a descendant of, he says what his the name of the son is. I forgot all the details. It's not important now to go into the details. But does not mention Shlomo HaMelech. And this appears to be a direct contradiction to another Maimon Chazal that says that the Melech HaMashiach must, the Rambam says, he goes out of his way to say that although David HaMelech had many children, he had many wives, and he had 400, Chazal say 400 children from Eshes Yifas Toyar, he had many, many children. But the Melech HaMashiach must come from Shlomo HaMelech. And this Chazal, this Rambam, is contradicted by a Zohar that says explicitly that the Melech HaMashiach is not coming from Shlomo. It's coming from another son, and he says who that son is. And we had this fascinating answer that it was a mitzvah of Yibum. And the truth is, Elu v'Elu Divrei Elokim Chayim. And I don't remember the details, but basically the child, either it was a child, this person died, this other son of Shlomo HaMelech, of David HaMelech died without children. And Shlomo HaMelech was miyabein her, performed the mitzvah of Yibum on his brother. His brother died without children and had a child. So that child is considered to be the combination of both what the Zohar writes and what the Rambam says. Okay, so we gave a technical answer, and it's a very fascinating answer, but the Melech HaMashiach comes about through the mitzvah of Yibum. There's a lot of ideas that are brought out in this principle. But the point we made then, after we discussed that whole technicality, was the following insight, and I want to expand upon this now, and that is, when we talk about Mashiach, we find three terms. Number one, we find Mashiach being Ben Yishai. Yishai is an essential ingredient in Mashiach. Mitzad Sheni, Mashiach is called Mashiach ben David. The Rambam says Mashiach is a descendant of Shlomo HaMelech. And here, what we're adding today is Bayoim Hahu Nu'um Hashem. Okay, this is not a Zohar. These are psukim. We're not going to focus on the Zohar that spoke about the other son. That's not relevant, because that's not anywhere in the psukim, and it's not anywhere in Chazal. It's a Kabbalistic idea. But if we focus solely on the psukim and Chazal, we have Mashiach is Ben Yishai, Ben Yishai Mishichecha, Mashiach Ben David. The Rambam says it must be a Ben Shloimoi, and okay, that's a Rambam, that's not a Chazal, but I'm certain the Rambam is basing that upon something probably very open and blatant in Chazal or in a Pasuk. Okay. So let's accept that to be 100% legitimate. And here at the end of Sefer Chagai, we're introduced to a fourth partner in Mashiach. Bayoy mahunu umashem tzivakos eko chacho. I will take you on that day which we are assuming to be Mashiach, the end of days, Zerubbabel, Ben Shaltiel, Avdinu Mashem, V'samticha Kachoysam. I'm going to make you the Choysam, the seal, the signet ring of Klal Yisrael, the Melech HaMashiach. Ki V'chov V'chartinu Mashem Tzivokas, I have selected you. So there's a fourth element in Mashiach. Mashiach has four dimensions. Yishai, David, Shlomoy, and Zerubbabel. Each one brings to the table a different element, a different dimension, which is lacking by the others, and only together achieves a shleimus of the goal and the purpose of the Melech HaMashiach. Mashiach is not, oh, Mashiach, we want Mashiach now. Who is Mashiach? Mashiach is a complex concept. Mashiach has many ingredients. And when we study the entire Tanakh, you learn that Mashiach is sometimes called Ben Yishai, sometimes called Ben David. Sometimes the element of Mashiach is found in Shlomoy, the son of David. And here we have Zerubbabel. Now, last time when we spoke about this topic, we only mentioned three. We focused on Yishai, and we focused on David and Shlomoy, and we tried to match them up to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. The Midah of Yishai was found in Avraham, Chesed. The Midah of David, Vanisafila, was found in Yitzchak. And the Midah of Shlomoy was, his legacy was Mishpat. Mishpat, the Kisei Shlomoy. Mishpat, Emes, Titin Emes LiYaakov, was Yaakov Avinu. So we had a whole drasha trying to elaborate, to connect, and I showed Yishai, I think it was at the end, it was good. We quoted a very elaborate medrash about Yishai, what happened, how Yishai had gave birth to David, the Midah, how his intense yearning, Vesanefesh Asher Osu B'choron, how Yishai relates very much to David, to Avraham Avinu. But today we have a challenge, because today we learn that it's not really three dimensions in the Melech HaMashiach. There are four dimensions in the Melech HaMashiach. You cannot ignore this pasuk. This pasuk, which clearly puts Zerubbabel on a pedestal. He's also an element of the Melech. Who is he? So I want to go to Sukkos, and I want to say, on Sukkos, there's a fourth Av. He's an Av and not an Av. Yosef. Yosef is Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov. And Yosef in rabbinic literature, where Kefir always likes to say, is a semi-Av. He's mitzad echad, one of the shiftei ka, but mitzad sheni, he's also takes up his own space as an av to a degree. We don't mention him obviously in the lokei Avraham, lokei Yitzchak, lokei Yaakov, but Yosef occupies a very special place in the establishment of Klal Yisrael, especially in Golos, because Yosef is ma'ase avos sim labanim. Yosef was the force that showed Klal Yisrael you can be a religious Jew in Golos. Yosef was oimed in the nisayon of Eishes Potifar, okay, the Bris Mila, okay, the nisayon of Eishes Potifar, Shmiras HaBris, and don't ignore the fact that here he's called the Choysam, Yotzam Mohol. So we began today, the purpose of Bris Mila relates to Gili Arayos, it relates to Ta'avas Hanoshim, relates to the Nisoyon in America, 80% intermarriage rate. Okay, the Nisoyon, it's something which has destroyed us. Yosef was Vayonas Vayetze Hachutzo. Vayonas Vayetze Hachutzo, Yotzo Mohol. What does it mean, Yotzo Mohol? What is Yotza? It alludes to Vayonas Vayetze Hachutza. It's the Koyach. And Yosef, what else do we know about Yosef? Yosef, he survived in Golos. He survived as a religious Orthodox Jew in Golos, which is impossible. the ability to remain shomer Torah mitzvahs in such an environment for all of these years when he's all alone and there's no one watching, and what he gave to Klal Yisrael with this koyach. Vayikach Moishas Atzmos Yosef Imoy. Why? The Yam would not split unless they saw that in Klal Yisrael there is the koyach, the gift, the midah of Yosef, to the ability to survive in Golos. Isn't that exactly what Zerubbabel is? Zerubbabel here is the leader taking us into Golos. Haggai says, Zerubbabel, I have bad news for you. Mashiach is not coming. It's not coming anytime soon. They're just not ready. The people are not ready. We had big hopes, big plans. 70 years are over. Lefim Elois Lebavel Shem Shana, Lefim Chorvos Yushalayim Shem Shana. We're building the Beis HaMikdash. We're going to build it. And we're going to go back. But you were meant to be the Melech HaMashiach. But you see, it's not going. There's something wrong. And this bias will not turn into, evolve into the bias Shlishi. Will not evolve. This era is not going to evolve into Acharis Hayamim. It's going to be a very nice try. It'll last for 420 glorious years, but it's going to end. And then there's going to be 1,950 years of Golus until the year Tav Shin Pei Aleph, where Mashiach will come. And during that time, it's not going to be easy. And you're the person that has to prepare Klal Yisrael for this era. You are Yosef. You're Mashiach. But you're a different dimension, a different element of Mashiach. We have Avraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov. We got them already. We got them. We got Yishai. He was the need of Avraham. We have, which we can't go through now. That was last time. We have David. David is the need of Yitzchak. We have Shloimoi. This is the need of Yaakov. But we need a Yosef. You are the Yosef. You are the Yosef. Mashiach has four components. Okay, we're adding to our previous four, not three, four critical components, elements, dimensions, whatever word you want to use, that make up the shlemos, the scope of what Mashiach is. What we need to bring Mashiach, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, and thrive in an environment of Yosef to bring Mashiach. We have to draw from Yishai, from David, from Shloimei, and from Zerubbabel. Okay, one last idea to wind down to include the Sefer, and that is the name Haggai. What does Haggai mean? No, I don't see anyone talk about this. Chag HaMatzos. Chag HaSukkos, Chag HaShavuos, Chagai, there's a Yud at the end, but you can't ignore the fact that there's a Ches and a Gimel, which is a festival. Now, if you would say Chagi, I'm not a mumche in Hebrew grammar, I would assume that if it would be vowelized Chagi, it would mean my festival. It's not vowelized, it's Chagai. Chagai is not the same. But nevertheless, the letters are there, Chagi, and a name captures your essence, captures your identity, captures your mission. And if the fact that this individual is Hashem's representative, he is the prophet of the generation represents the Ribbono Shel Olam, and the name of the prophet's name is, let's just loosely vowelize his name, Chagi. It's Hashem's festival. And we have a festival, Chag HaMatzos, Chag HaShavuos, Chag HaSukkos. Those are our festivals. Hashem gave them to us. V'somachto b'chagecha. You rejoice in b'chagecho. In your festivals. The simcha we enjoy during these festivals are your festivals. You shall rejoice b'chagecha. But Chagai is v'samachti b'chagi. Hashem is now through Haggai, the era, the tkufa, Haggai is living in the era of when Mashiach is supposed to come. The 70 years have come to an end of Golos. Now is the time for Hashem to have a festival. It's Chagi. And you are the prophet that's going to reveal to the world my message so that I can also have a... Hashem's entitled, right? If we have festivals, isn't Hashem also entitled to have a festival? My festival? Unfortunately, it didn't work out. Unfortunately, because of our mistakes, our unwillingness to do what we were supposed to do, it didn't work out. So it didn't turn into the full-fledged festival, but we can't ignore the name of the person. The name of the person has a very unique name, and it's Chagi. Chagai, we call Chagai, but you can also pronounce it Chagi, and contrast that with the word Chagecho, your festivals, and it makes a lot of sense, because this is the person who is preparing Zerubbabel from him. These are the seeds. Even though it may not have worked out at the moment, it did not mushroom, evolve into what was meant to be, but at least the seeds have been planted with Zerubbabel and the beginning of this era to bring Hashem to his festival. And his festival is when the world achieves its purpose, the purpose of creation. Baruch Hashem, we've concluded. We never conclude. It's never over.
Just fill in the details of the Zohar that you mentioned.
You want me to fill in the details?
No, I'm...
Oh, you okay. Rabbi Chol is going to fill in the details, yes. I hope you can hear Rabbi Chol.
David had another son named Nasan.
Nasan, okay.
Nasan was married to Hefziba.
Hefziba, okay.
Nasan...
Wait, that was Shlom. How could that be? That was Yeshaya. Different. Yeah. Yep.
Nasan died without children.
Okay.
So Shlomo was Miyabein
Hefziba.
And from there is the Melech HaMashiach.
So he just quotes the Zohar. The Zohar, what I was referring to. The Zohar, this is not relevant. It's not important. It's just incidental. Is that the Zohar says something which it's not clear where this comes from, where the sources are for this. David had a son by the name of Nasan, not to be confused with Nasan Hanavi,
right.
A son by the name of Nasan. Nasan married a woman by the name of Hefziba. Now, Yeshaya, many, many, many years later, had a daughter by the name of Hefziba, so it's not the same person, obviously. But the Zohar says Nasan married a woman by the name of Hefziba. Does anyone here know a woman today by the name of Hefziba? I highly doubt it. Hefziba, and then Nasan died without children. Shalomai HaMelech was Mekayim, the mitzvah of Yibum, and married Hefziba and had a child. And I'm assuming that they named the child Nasan, I'm assuming. And from that child came, that child comes Zerubbabel, because that's not the line of Malchus. The line of Malchus until now is Shlomoi, and then Rechavam, and then you go down the whole line of kings. You go down. Somewhere, when you go down that whole line, the child of Hefziba re-enters, I'm assuming through marriage. Marries a cousin. First cousin, the second cousin, the third cousin. Somewhere down the line, it re-enters. So when the line of Malchus continues down, as we find in Tanakh, the mother, it was the blood of Nasan ben David has re-emerged, has re-entered into the from the mother's side.
Even though all the Malachim came from Rechavam and down, but
right, but the mother, it has to be that. I'm assuming that's what it means. It means that it was a cousin, that someone there married one of the males married a cousin. Whether it was a first cousin, a second cousin, a third cousin, depending how far down it went, and then you went down to the next generation. So the next generation, Ben Acha, it's David, Shalomai, Rechavam, and go down the chart. But who are the mothers? Some of the mothers we know, some we don't know. Okay, you study Tanakh. Some of them we know, maybe we can trace exactly where it happened. Some it tells you who they married, some it does not say who they married. But according to what this is Zohar. This is not a Gemara, this is Zohar, esoteric. But that's why it's not a contradict to the Rambam, because the Rambam makes a big fuss. The Rambam says the Melech HaMashiach must be a descendant of Sholoimai. Who says? Why? They were kings, and all the way down, maybe today when the new Melech HaMashiach will come along, it just has to be, David had many children. David had 18 wives. Who knows how many children David and Melech had? It has to be a descendant of David. So just because for 410 years, it was a ben achar ben from Shloimai, who says the Melech HaMashiach has to now come bedavka from Shloimai? Maybe it'll come from one of the other children of David HaMelech. The Rambam, I don't know the Makar, I don't know if Rambam has to have a source for this, Rambam can't say this on his own. The Rambam says, no, the Melech HaMashiach must come from a descendant of Shloimai. It's not enough to come from David. It has to come from Shlomo. So look at that. Melech HaMashiach has four different elements. He's a Ben Yishai. Pasuk emphasizes Ben Yishai Mashiachecha. He is a Ben David. We always say Ben David, Mashiach Ben David. Rambam emphasizes it must be a Ben Shlomai. And here we learn today, this is Zerubbabel. And our Yisoid is Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Yosef. Yitzchak and Yaakov is easy as pie. David HaMelech said about himself, Va'ani Safila, Avoida. Shlomo is Yaakov, Mishpat. Zerubbabel, piece of cake, Yosef. The one that seems a bit more difficult, which is not, is Yishai, because Yishai was a descendant of Rus HaMoaviyah, and there's this medrash everyone by now knows where he did it, pulled off this whole stunt by trying to marry a Shifcha, to live with a Shifcha, to have a slave, and to free the slave. Why? Because he had this nagging feeling in his neshama, I cannot leave this world without having a neshama that's part of Klal Yisrael. And I'm afraid that my zera is incomplete because I'm a descendant of Moav. And at this point in time, it was not clear the psak halacha, Moavi v'loy Moavis. So it nagged him that maybe I'm not going to leave over anyone that's going to be part of Klal Yisrael. He pulled off this stunt in order to be Mekayim, V'yes ha'nefesh asher osu v'choron, the mead of Avram Avinu. And that stunt he pulled off to make sure he leaves over a Yiddish neshama is what produced David. So that mead of the native, a nefesh asher osu b'choron, which is the hallmark of Avram Avinu, is Yishai. So Yishai is Avram. David is Yitzchak, Shlomo is Yaakov, and today we've learned something new. Zerubbabel is Yosef. Yosef, like in the Ushpizin, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Yosef, the fourth semi-av. Each one is a necessary ingredient in the Bias HaMashiach. All right, we're going to stop here. Mazel Tov. As we always say when we finish a Navi, may Chagai, may he be for us a Melech Yosher. We spent all this time. We spent all this time learning
on how it became from him. What is Nehemia? Why they say it's Nehemia?
Okay.
He doesn't like it, but he says
literally. But
the reason for the drush.
Okay.
That his name Zerubbabel was because the Nechonia didn't have any children in Eretz Yisrael until he was Gola. He was Nigla to Babel. And that's why they named the son Zerubbabel.
Zerah and Babel.
Yeah, because he didn't have a child until he went back to Babel.
Interesting.
And it finishes off, Vakashali. it doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but he says that's the reason for the drush.
Okay, we're Toivea. Yeah. We conclude by being...
The only one who comments on.
We're Toivea from Chagai. We spent all this time learning Chagai all these months, especially during Corona. I think we spent a lot of part, not all of it, but we spent a lot of time Chagai. So we're Mevakei Shem Chagai Hanavi. He should be for all of us in Gans Klal Yisrael Melech Yosher to bring the Geula. to bring refuos, yeshuas, nechamais for everyone, bechlal v'prat. All right.
Good morning, everybody.